live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilia Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Sinn Féin finance spokesperson has clashed in the Dáil with the finance minister yet again over the rising cost of living. A major investment of €7.6 million has been made in Donegal County Council's housing stock. Latest figures show that the Letterkenny local electoral area had Ireland's third highest incidence rate of COVID-19 in the 2 weeks up to Monday, March the 14th. And there's some positive news this week in terms of care provision in Inishowen. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin, followed by farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. First news though, the Sinn Féin finance spokesperson has clashed in the Dáil with the finance minister yet again over the rising cost of living. Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty told Minister Pascal Donoghue today that households, particularly in border counties such as Donegal, who use oil to heat their homes, are being pushed beyond the threshold. He urged the minister to change his position and consider additional supports. Deputy Doherty told Minister Donoghue that he needs to listen to those at the cold face of the struggle.
Don't listen to me for a second. Listen to St Vincent de Paul. They said it's not enough. Social Justice Ireland saying not, it's not enough. Those who advocate for older people alone saying it's not enough. You need to do more. People who are dependent on social welfare are poorer now. They're looking for government who have a responsibility to act. You're refusing to act. You have the power. You have the ability to act now. Instead of increasing home heating oil, which you plan to do on the 1st of May, let's reduce it. Instead of actually ignoring the plight of those who are most vulnerable, let's bring forward a social welfare package that protects them for the most particular increase. That's what I would do, Minister, if I was sitting on your side.
This is a government that from the moment this crisis tested our country again has acted quickly, just as we did when we were contending with the last crisis. Deputy, I'm well aware of the worry, of the anxiety, of the concern that many are facing at the moment. We are aware of the challenges and the new tests that we will respond back to. But I didn't hear any word from you about the measures and increases that your party is implementing in Northern Ireland. Not a single word. The difference between the deputies on this side of the House and you, Deputy Doherty, and your colleagues, is this government is busy trying to implement measures that we believe can make a difference. We are busy implementing measures to try to help. Deputy Doherty, you're busy deleting your policies, deleting the measures. That's what you're doing. We're acting on recent decisions. We're acting in our recent policy. All of you are too busy deleting them.
Nothing till October.
We're over time.
Disgraceful.
Thank you.
The widest and strongest set of sanctions are needed to keep the pressure on Russia over the war in Ukraine, according to the Taoiseach. Micheál Martin's arrived in Brussels for a summit of EU leaders on the war. He says as well as considering new sanctions, it's important that existing measures are enforced.
We need the widest and strongest set of sanctions we possibly can provide to keep the pressure on Putin's regime. But obviously there are implications for other member states in respect of energy. And the objective of the exercise fundamentally is to keep the pressure on Russia and to punish Russia severely for its actions, not EU member states.
A major investment of €7.6 million has been made in Donegal County Council's housing stock. The council has completed the turnkey acquisition of 38 properties that are currently under construction at Oak Meadows, Drumbar, Donegal Town. It's part of the council's social housing capital programme. Trish Lafferty has more.
The supply of these new social housing units will be an important part of the council's plan to meet the needs of those on the housing list. The development is being completed in three phases, with 10 units in phase one already completed and now occupied by the new tenants who received the keys of their new homes in recent weeks. It's expected that phase two and phase three of this development will be completed and allocated later this year. The council is also working on the provision of a number of social housing schemes on council lands and also pursuing the purchase of suitable lands throughout the municipal district to meet the housing requirements as part of the Council's Housing Delivery Action Plan.
23,125 cases of COVID-19 have been reported today, with 8,910 PCR confirmed cases and 14,215 people registering positive antigen tests through the HSC portal. There were 1,425 patients with COVID in hospitals across the country at 8 o'clock this morning, up from 1,395 yesterday. Latest figures for Letterkenny University Hospital show 84 infectious cases, one of them in intensive care. Meanwhile, latest figures show that the Letterkenny local electoral area had Ireland's third highest incidence rate of COVID-19 in the 2 weeks up to Monday, March the 14th. Conversely, South and North Inishowen, previously considered as COVID black spots, had the lowest and third lowest rates in the state. Donal Kavanagh has more.
In the 2 weeks to March 14th, Letterkenny had 595 cases of COVID-19, a rate of 1,997 cases per 100,000 people. That compares to a national rate of 1,188.5. Milford had 193 cases, a rate of 1,401.5, while Lifford Stranorer had 352 cases, a rate of 1,358. The Donegal electoral area had 327 cases, a rate of 1,234. The other three areas in the county had rates below the national average. Glenties had 206 cases, a rate of 861. North Inishowen had 103 cases, a rate of 607, while South Inishowen had 127 cases, a rate of 568, the lowest in the state.
Respite services at Riverwalk Respite House in Inishowen are set to resume in the coming weeks. The HSE has confirmed that services are to resume in the second quarter of this year, in addition to residential accommodation being completed for those currently occupying the facility. Meanwhile, plans are afoot to upgrade Milltown House, with the lease, management and usage of the centre by the HSE as a respite centre being progressed. Councillor Albert Doherty says the extra capacity for respite is to be welcomed.
That's progress. When the residential property has been sought for those that needed their emergency respite, that's welcome too. That's been progressed by HSE.
I'm sure many families across Inishowen will be relieved to hear this news.
Yes, many families did not see the alternative offered as in Ballymacool, Letterkenny, for love of their dear ones, for travel, transport, all of those issues, and to have Riverwalk respite available again is a plus. Very welcome news too, that there could be possible additional respite because there seems to have been progress in the issue between Milton House and the HSE, and that really would be a jewel in the crown to have additional respite and to have hydrotherapy services returned again. And I just want to congratulate it all for their successful meet on the 15th of the 3rd, and hope now that they will continue to progress this matter.
And you would be hopeful that the HSC will honour this commitment to have those services resumed in the second quarter of this year.
Yeah, it's a task I'll be holding them to, and a timetable I'll be holding them to, because for too long those services were absent, unavailable, and they merit now full consideration by HSC to make sure the services are delivered.
A new air service linking the North West and Edinburgh has been announced today. Loganair will operate flights from City of Derry Airport to Edinburgh from May the 17th, initially 3 days a week, with additional flights to be added during peak summer months. Airport management say, as the gateway of the North West, they continue to monitor the travel needs of Derry, the Causeway Coast and Glens and Donegal. A new agreement will see all school secretaries transfer to a new pay scale aligned with the Public Service Clerical Officer Scale. The trade union FORSA, which negotiated the deal, said it comes after a decades-long campaign for pay equity and significantly improves incomes and paid leave arrangements for low-paid secretaries. Officer with FORSA and Local Schools Secretary Kathleen O'Doherty says while there have been positives, there are still issues which have not been agreed.
So for many of us at this stage, there's actually not much of an improvement. Some, yes, that are on a low rate of pay will be increased. Now, it is, in fairness, the clerical three existing level that it's been based on. Unfortunately, they have put a stipulation in it that at 0.5, so those that have 10 years plus, they will actually go to 0.5, which is €15. Whereas on the existing clerical rate, it actually would be €18. For those on 19 years plus, they'll go on 2.7. which is €16.03, which versus €21.49 for those that are on the clerical. Mm-hmm. Now, that said, they will eventually catch up. And I have to emphasise the very fact the centralised payment to the department, it is more important. The sick pay, unfortunately, it's only going to be what is coming in for everybody, the statutory 3 day for 2022, which fell in, or is coming in because in relation to COVID, when they realised people did not have sick entitlement at all. And that's for those obviously outside public and civil service. No pension. The government has refused access to public pension.
The government is coming under further pressure to do all it can to avert industrial action by postmasters. An emergency meeting is to be held on Monday where they will consider balloting on industrial action. South Donegal Deputy Marion Harkin told Minister Michael McGrath in the Dáil that they have reached a tipping point waiting for payments. She pressed the minister to expedite the already agreed payments.
Minister, next Monday, postmasters are holding an emergency meeting to consider balloting on industrial action simply because they've reached a tipping point with regard to payments. For example, their fit-for-purpose payment agreed in their 2018 contract, their 2021 Christmas payments, and payments for additional work because of the Money Laundering Directive. That was agreed nearly a year ago. More and more work, but payments not forthcoming.
The former Burton Port Fishermen's Cooperative building has been demolished. It's one of a number of buildings set to be removed to pave the way for extra car parking facilities and ferry terminal. Catherine Gaffney has more.
The cooperative building was once a hive of activity serving the salmon industry in the area. The building also served as an auction hall, cinema, dance hall, a festival office and, in more recent times, a storage facility. According to Donegal County Council's Burton Port redevelopment plan, the demolition of the existing buildings is to facilitate the realignment of the road, the provision of additional parking spaces and to improve traffic flow on the pier. The plan claims that the harbour and its current state is restricted for space and can become very congested and lead to hazardous conditions for all users, particularly fishermen and boat users. The plan also aims to regenerate a maritime gateway to Arranmore Island.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and goalkeeper Gavin Bazunu has withdrawn from the Republic of Ireland squad for the friendly internationals with Belgium and Lithuania because of illness. He has been replaced by uncapped Bristol City goalkeeper Max O'Leary. Liverpool's Kevin Kelleher is now set to start Saturday's game against Belgium at the Aviva Stadium. There remains no place in the squad for West Ham's Darren Randolph. And Wales, they'll attempt to edge closer to qualifying for a first World Cup since 1958 tonight. Gareth Bale says that Welsh game, a semi-final tonight, is one of his biggest games of his career. They take on Austria in a one-legged tie at the Cardiff Stadium, with the winner set to face Scotland or Ukraine for a place in the finals in Qatar. Elsewhere in the playoff semi-finals this evening, Portugal meet Turkey, and Italy, they take on North Macedonia. Sweden, they meet the Czech Republic for the right to face Poland. All tonight's games kick off at 7:45. In other news, Jermaine Defoe was retired from football at the age of 39. He scored 20 goals in 57 games for England and 143 goals in 362 appearances for Spurs. The striker also played for Portsmouth, Sunderland and more recently Rangers. Back home locally, the Donegal League Saturday Division 1 leaders Glencairn Celtic, they'll look to extend their lead to 5 points this evening. They play Kilmacrenan Celtic reserves at Diamond Park Ballyar. 8 o'clock is the kickoff time there. Gaelic Games, Mayo manager James Horan has named his team for Sunday's Alliance Football League Division 1 clash with Kildare. Rory Byrne will start in goal, with Pádraig O'Hara returning to take his place in the fullback line. Killian O'Connor is once again left out of the matchday squad as he continues his recovery from injury. Mayo will secure a place in the league final against Kerry with a win. Donegal, they play Armagh, of course, that's in the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny on Sunday. 1:45 is the throw-in time for that one. In rugby, Evan Riley is poised to make her Ireland debut this Saturday. Having impressed for Blackrock College, the scrum half is named to start in the Six Nations match against Wales at the RDS. Nicola Friday captains the side from the second row in what is Ireland's first match under new head coach Greg McWilliams. Christy Haney and Anna McGann could also make their first test appearances if introduced off the bench. And Ireland internationals Craig Casey and Gavin Coombs are both included in the Munster team for tomorrow's United Rugby Championship meeting with Benetton at Musgrave Park. Head coach Johan van Graan has made 8 changes in all following the loss to the Lions last weekend. Simon Zeebo also returns to the starting lineup for the game in Cork. In golf, Seamus Power can take another step towards securing a spot at this year's Masters this evening. The Waterford native has just teed off against world number 4 Patrick Cantlay in their group match at the WGC match play in Austin. A win for Power will put him in position to reach the knockout phase as he bids to stay in the world's top 50 to book his place at Augusta. Shane Lowry's must-win match against Eric Van Rooyen that gets underway after 6 o'clock. In other golf news, Leona Maguire's 2-under par after 6 holes at the LPGA Tour's JTBC Classic. That's in California. That's 2 shots off the early lead held by Stacey Lewis. Stephanie Meadow tees off a little later on. And Graham McDowell, he represents the Irish interest at the Corrales Championship on the PGA Tour this week. The Portrush golfer is level par through his first 2 holes. And Niall Kearney's best of the Irish after day 1 at the Qatar Masters. The Dubliner carried a 2-under par round of 70 with Jonathan Caldwell a further shot back. Cormac Sharvin is 2-over with Spain's Pablo Larrazabal the leader on 8-under par. In snooker, Ken Doherty was defeated in a final frame decider in his last 64 meeting with Lewis Heathcote at the Gibraltar Open. Aaron Hulls traced Stuart Carrington by 3-2, and Jordan Brown advanced to the last 32 courtesy of a 4-0 victory over Luke Pinches. In Formula One news, Aston Martin driver Sebastian Vettel could miss this weekend's Saudi Arabia Grand Prix. He sat out the opener in Bahrain after testing positive for COVID-19 and is still awaiting a negative result. Nico Hülkenberg is on standby. Finally, for this evening, coming up on this evening's Score programme on Highland Radio, Martin McHugh and Ciarán O'Kane join Oisín and Kelly to look at the Crunch League fixtures this weekend, including Donegal hosting Armagh and Tyrone's trip to Kerry. And St Dunan's College are into the Dr Tony O'Neill All-Ireland Senior Soccer Schools final. We hear from manager Michael Kelly. Plus, it's a big weekend of rugby for City of Derry, who are trying to avoid relegation. And Letterkenny, who play in the Gordon West Cup semi-final, will be joined by Alex McDonald to look at those ties. That's the Score programme just after the 7 o'clock news. Back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. For weather now, clear spells tonight and it will be dry apart from isolated drizzle. Mist and fog will develop in light and variable breezes with lowest temperatures of 3 to 6 degrees. And the closing headlines this evening, the Sinn Féin finance spokesperson has clashed in the Dáil with the finance minister yet again over the rising cost of living. Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty told Minister Pascal Donoghue today that households, particularly in border counties such as Donegal, who use oil to heat their homes, are being pushed beyond the threshold. A major investment of €7.6 million has been made in Donegal County Council's housing stock. The council has completed the turnkey acquisition of 38 properties that are currently under construction at Oak Meadows, Drumbar, Donegal Town. Latest figures show that the Letterkenny electoral area had Ireland's third highest incidence rate of COVID-19 in the 2 weeks up to Monday, March the 14th. Conversely, South and North Inishowen, previously considered as COVID black spots, had the lowest and third lowest rate in the state. And a new agreement will see all school secretaries transfer to a new pay scale aligned with the Public Service Clerical Officer Scale. The trade union FORSA, which negotiated the deal, said it comes after a decades-long campaign. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union, Rafoe Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up later, we'll be looking at fertiliser issues and a dairy farmer retirement scheme. But first, a reminder to farmers that the Department of Agriculture is hosting a series of nationwide in-person public information meetings about Ireland's proposed new CAP strategic plan for 2023-27, which is due to come into effect on the 1st of January next year. The public information meeting in Donegal will be held next Wednesday, the 30th of March, in the Clannery Hotel in Letterkenny, and will run from 8 to half past 9. No prior registration is necessary. Well, there's an important farm safety event being held next week on the farm of Peter Lynch in Newton Cunningham. It ties in with a number of events being run around the country as part of Macra na Ferma's Farm Safety Month. I've been speaking to Andrew McMenamin, County Secretary of Macra, and he's also the IFA County Secretary in the county.
Yeah, Chris, it's a Macra Farm Safety event. March is Farm Safety Awareness Month. Obviously, it's a busy time on farms with calving and whatnot, and a lot of fieldwork being done. So, yeah, Macra want to do a farm safety talk, and we put our hand forward to host one here in Donegal.
And it's on Peter Lynch's farm just outside Newton Cunningham. So tell us a little bit about the when it's on and the times, and how does one get involved?
Yeah, that's correct. It's next Thursday at 7 p.m. on Peter Lynch's farm near Newton Cunningham. Everyone's welcome. So it's run by Macra, but IFA members are getting involved to help us to organise the event. And anyone wishing to join Macra, the Ferma, more than welcome to come.
So, Andrew, this is one of a number of events, no doubt, that Macra will have in the coming months. And after COVID and a lack of activity, this is a chance, I suppose, for people to get involved and also to drive membership going forward.
That's correct, yeah. And Macra, we're very social oriented, and we're keen to get new members. Obviously, we struggled for 2 years, but yeah, we're looking for new members and to get more active again.
Now, just back to this event on Peter Lynch's farm, it's hard to beat being there in person, and who knows, people might pick up a few handy tips, because safety is of paramount importance, especially at this busy time of year.
Exactly, Chris. We're going to talk, not in depth about everything, but just touching on certain aspects of farm safety. So we're going to talk a little bit about machinery and livestock and just general knowledge like that there, and even filling out simple things like a farm safety risk assessment, which is very important that farmers, it'll highlight problems that known on their own farms.
And finally, if people want to find out more about it, it's on Macra's Facebook page and other social media outlets, and of course you can just turn up on the night.
Yeah, that's correct. It's at 7 o'clock next Thursday, and yeah, it's on the three Macra pages on Facebook, Donegal Macra, Letterkenny Macra, and Proper Job Macra, and it's also on the IFA Facebook page as well.
And that was Andrew McMenamin, County Secretary of Macra here in Donegal, and also IFA County Secretary. Now, turning to something completely different, fertiliser has been very much in the news because of the high prices and supply issues. And this week, the Irish Farmers Journal carried out an extensive survey to see what farmers are doing on the ground in relation to this. To find out more, I've been speaking to the Journal's political correspondent, Pat O'Toole.
Yeah, we discovered 1,730 people responded to our survey over the weekend, so it's statistically very significant. 64% of them have secured some fertiliser supplies, but less than 20% have secured all their fertiliser supplies for 2022. Frighteningly, one in three indicated they haven't purchased any fertiliser yet. So, like, that was the weekend of the 20th of March. So there's a huge volume of farmers out there who have still to come into the market for fertiliser. The worry around whether stocks will be adequate to meet the demand for fertiliser is one worry. Of course, the price is another. It's easy to know why people are hanging back, 300 to 400% ahead of the levels of 2 years ago. And as you say, 70% of farmers planning to cut back on usage. And that's going to have a knock-on effect on output this year from all sectors, it seems.
So quite a big percentage then not purchasing at this stage. So what are the reasons why?
Mainly cash flow. A lot of dry stock farmers would get their fertiliser at this time of the year or even later, would only go in for it assuming it would be there and assuming the price would be much the same as the previous autumn and assuming that availability wouldn't be an issue and assuming the credit would be available for a couple of months until they might sell a few stock. None of those things are in evidence this year, so money is expected up front and the price is, like we say, now 900 plus euros for can, which is a terrifying prospect for dry stock farmers. We know that because we did a sectoral breakdown, the vast majority of dairy farmers and cereal growers have bought stocks and you know a significant proportion of their stocks. It's dry stock farmers who are behind and who will be later going out on land and, you know, in general. But the knock-on effect of that is that two-thirds of the beef farmers who responded to our survey say they will reduce stock numbers and intend to sell earlier, maybe try to get, you know, a good year's grazing and get them off the grass in good nick. So next autumn could see a flood of stock to the marts a little earlier than normal. And half of sheep producers plan to cut their numbers this year as a result of the higher input costs. So they're very significant numbers. And it just shows that there are huge concerns around forage, and rightly so. Will there be enough feed to feed the herd and flock this winter and our pigs and our poultry? But the reality is that farmers are they're planning to reduce their numbers, so there may be enough forage because there may not be enough stock. 45% of pig farmers told us they've stopped serving their sows, and a quarter of the pig farmers who responded to the survey intend to exit the sector this year. And there's a similar story with the poultry sector and the vegetable sector under horrendous pressure. So the impact of the increase in fertiliser, fuel, pesticides, energy costs, when you combine all that together, it's having a profound impact on the plans the farmers are making for the year ahead.
So, certainly worrying times. Just turning to something quite different, a dairy farmer retirement scheme is being considered. There could be a lot of interest in this.
Yeah, I think there will. I think there'll be a lot of interest that it's on the agenda. As an alternative approach to enabling the dairy sector to meet its sectoral, play its part in having farming meeting its sectoral targets on emissions. They were talking about, you know, some kind of curb, whether it was a per herd milk quota or a per herd cow quota or a per herd carbon quota. Now they're talking about a retirement package. There's still over 4,000 farmers with less than 50 cows, and the majority of those farmers are 55 or over, a significant number of them in their 60s. And the profile of dairy farming is not as healthy as it might look. Glanbia put a package in place and were surprised at the level of interest in it and uptake of it. I would think that the stakeholders would expect the government to reach into their pockets as well. But there's a logic to it, and it would also allow a room for a new entrance. And obviously we need dynamic young farmers coming into the sector all the time.
And that was Pat O'Toole, political correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Raphoe Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
the obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 24th of March. The death has taken place of Kathleen Doherty, Sledran, Buncrana. Her remains will repose at her late residence from 7 o'clock this evening, with family time, please, from 11pm to 11am. Funeral Mass at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon in St Mary's Chapel, Cock Hill, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. The death has occurred in her 101st year of Susan McBride, née Lamb, Duntinny, Kerry Keel. Susan's remains will repose at her late residence in Duntinny from 6 o'clock this evening. Removal from there at 1:15 on Saturday afternoon, travelling from her home via Springfield and Tamney to St Columbus Church Massmount for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the St Mary's Fanavalti and St Columbus Massmount Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or McAteer Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Roisin McGavigan, née Gallagher, 5, Oakland Park, Strabane. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Melmount Manor Staff Comfort Fund, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Anita O'Donnell, Sledran, Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. House strictly private during the wake and on the morning of the funeral, please. Funeral from her late residence at 10:15 on Saturday morning for Funeral Mass in St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, at 11 o'clock, with burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Funeral can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Brendan McLaughlin, 5, Glenelly View, Plumbridge. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:50 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ahabrack, at 11:30. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Western Health and Social Care Trust, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of James Doherty, William Briney, Clea Clonmany. His remains will repose at his late residence from 6:30 this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Clonmany, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to St Columbkill Village, Clea Clonmany, care of any family member, or MacFeely Funeral Directors, Clonmany. James's Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Michael Kenna, 10, Sand Hill, Portnabla, Dunfanaghy, formerly of Malahide, Dublin. Michael's remains will repose at his home in Sand Hill until 10 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass in Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Irish Kidney Association, care of any family member, or James Harkin, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Alexander Alex Johnson, 59, Bond Street, Waterside, formerly of Kindrum, Thanet. Funeral from his late home in Bond Street tomorrow morning at 10:30, for a service of thanksgiving for his life in All Saints Cluny Parish Church at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in Ballyone Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Ward 26 at McGovern Hospital, care of Mrs. Ruth Hay, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Gabrielle Doherty, 9A St Columbus Avenue, Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:20 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Oratory, with burial afterwards in Cockhill Cemetery. And the death has occurred of Rosha Quinn, Glen Villa, New Mills, Letterkenny. Her remains are reposing at her home. Requiem Mass will be celebrated in St Columbus Church, Glen Swilly, at 12 noon tomorrow, with interment afterwards in Kilfeek Cemetery. Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Glen Swilly. Family fares only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Pieta House, care of Con MacDade Funeral Director or any family member. For more details, including any family health guidelines, please go to highlandradio.com.